Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat, and we're coming to you in the middle of a very important week for Glasgow Clan. As we record, the Clan are the Gardner Conference champions again for the fifth time in 7 years, and are now in the lofty position of third in the Elite League table after that 5-1 win over the Dundee Stars. We'll look back on that game and get some post-match thoughts from the head coach Pete Russell and Scott Pitt. We also turn our attentions to the big game in Belfast on Thursday, when Glasgow Clan look to make history and reach their first ever Challenge Cup final when they go to the Giants and hope to improve on the 2-1 aggregate lead they currently hold. The game will be shown live on Free Sports, so I spoke to co-commentator Paul Adie about the contest and what could lie in store for what promises to be a fascinating night of action. We also chatted to Brendan Connolly about his experience of winning the Challenge Cup last year from his time in Belfast and previewed his return to his old club, where he'll hope to dethrone the current holders. We've also got this and another chance to find out what goes on behind the scenes in What Do You Do. You're listening to Clan Chat.
I'm Zach Fitzgerald, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
It's all eyes on Belfast on Thursday for the Challenge Cup semi-final second leg, and probably one of the club's biggest games for years. It's only the second time in Clan's history they've made it to the last four of the Challenge Cup, and as things stand, head to the SSE Arena with a 2-1 lead from the first leg. There's no doubt Pete Russell and the team face a huge task in overcoming a team that have done so well this season as they battle with Cardiff Devils for the league title, and they've reached the final group of the Continental Cup, coming second in the end and winning a silver medal for their trouble. Giants are also the current Challenge Cup holders after beating Cardiff 6-3 in last year's final, and are no doubt looking to hold on to it for a second year. As a bonus to fans who can't go on Thursday night, Free Sports are showing the game live, so the Purple Army will not miss a thing, as they hope to see their team create history and earn a place in Cardiff on Sunday the 10th of March. Hosting the coverage is Aaron Murphy, and he'll be ably assisted by Paul Adie, who will provide colour, as he always does, in Free Sports' excellent Elite League coverage this season. I had the opportunity to talk to Paul, a former Nottingham Panthers and Belfast Giants coach, about the game and get his thoughts on what lies ahead on Thursday. And to start, I asked him how much he was looking forward to the game.
Well, I have to say I'm really looking forward to it. You had a really good matchup with Glasgow and Belfast here, and just one goal in it. And obviously Belfast will have the home ice, so couldn't be any tighter. And it's certainly going to be a great game.
Now, we've seen Cardiff, Nottingham, Sheffield and Belfast. They're always in or there or thereabouts when it comes to the Challenge Cup. So how refreshing is it to see the Clan and Guildford Flames in the last four this year?
Yeah, I think it's really good. I mean, and, you know, two teams that have really impressed, both Glasgow and Guildford. I mean, you know, Glasgow have really come on, and, you know, through December and onwards, they've really been one of the top teams in the league, getting a lot of good results. And Guildford are probably one of the most exciting teams to watch. So who knows? I mean, you know, there's the possibility of a Guildford-Glasgow final. No one would have expected that, but it's still a possibility. Although for Glasgow, it's not going to be easy going into Belfast. I think overall, they'll be happy with the result, only losing one goal away. Their mentality is probably going to be, all we have to do is win the game, and more than likely we'll go through to the final. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's obviously if they win by one goal, I mean, it goes into overtime. But I think overall, I think Belfast will be feeling pretty confident. But, you know, Glasgow have gotten results on the road, and they've been one of the top two or three teams in the league since December.
Now, Belfast have had a good season, and you can say, you know, maybe at the start of the season, after winning the Challenge Cup last year, they'll want to take the next step under Adam Keefe. What's the next thing they can do? They did well in the Continental Cup, of course. They came second. But was a title challenge always the next step for Adam Keefe as he looked ahead to his objectives this year, do you think?
Well, I think so. I think they're aiming for the league title. It's not going to be easy. Cardiff are not ready to give that up, obviously, and should go down to the wire with these two teams. If you look at certain teams in the league, I mean, there's a lot of quality. You know, you look at Belfast, you look at Cardiff, you look at Nottingham. I mean, the players in their lineups are really of a high standard, as strong as a lot of teams in the past. And it's no wonder two of them are battling to the end here for the title. I mean, Nottingham, they probably left it too late. They had probably the easiest schedule in the league in the last, I think they got like 9 home and 3 away in their last 12 league games, something like that. So if they were a bit closer, they could still have a shot, but I think they're just too far back at the moment. But you're right. I mean, Belfast certainly are going to want to win this league title this year. I don't think they want to finish second again.
Now, they won it last year, as we've already said. So does that give them an edge, the fact that they've got that experience of winning that trophy before?
Well, I think it does. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. I think Belfast just have more experience at the moment in the big games, but it's a one-off game, and anything could happen. Yeah, but your point is valid. I mean, Belfast do have more experience in bigger games.
Now, you mentioned it's a one-off game. Can form play a part in this? We see Belfast, they came out of the weekend having lost, albeit they were edged out by Nottingham Panthers on Sunday. As we speak, Clan have got a game to play against Dundee on Tuesday before they go to Belfast as well. Can that have any kind of factor coming into this game on Thursday?
Well, I think you'd like to go into that game rested, that's for sure, because there's a lot riding on the game, obviously, and I think it certainly will help. But if one team is not at the plate during the week, I think that could be a big plus come around third period time. And I think the one thing, you know, Belfast do have a little bit more depth than Glasgow, and you know, down into that third period, that could be a telling factor in the game. But so obviously, you know, Pete Russell's done a fantastic job with his team. And he knows that one of the most important things for him is going to be keeping his guys fresh and probably not overplaying them early in the game.
Now, we're going to talk about the Clan now. Obviously, we are on Clan Chat. So they're a much different team to last year. Obviously, they missed out in the playoffs. An altogether disappointing season. Have you been impressed at how well they've bounced back this year?
Yeah, really impressed. I mean, they could possibly, you know, go past Nottingham. Although, like I said, Nottingham have a pretty easy schedule to the end of the season compared to a lot of other teams, but they can still pass Nottingham. And I mean, if they finish third, that'd be one incredible season for Glasgow. That would be a great improvement, and he would have done a fantastic job. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job right now the way it is.
And we saw how well the Clan handled the quarter final in Cardiff to go on and win. I think you could look back at that result as maybe a turning point in their season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you win a big game in tough situations, it builds confidence in it. You know, you prove to yourself as a team also that, you know, you can win the big games when you have to. And so you're right, a very important turning point for the Glen.
Now, you and Murph head out on Thursday to take in the game. Have you had a chance to talk about it with him yet? How do you see it going?
With Aaron? Sorry, I didn't hear you there.
I'm seeing you head out on Thursday with Murph to head to the game. Have you had a chance to talk to him about the game yet and how you think it'll go?
Well, we haven't discussed the result yet. Usually we do a lot of this on air, so it's not fake. You know what I mean? We like to just talk as it comes, and we don't plan ahead at all. I think it's more natural that way, and it works better for us anyways. And so we'll definitely be talking about possibly the result, you know, going into the game. And right now, I wouldn't make a prediction. I'll wait till on the night when Murph asks me that question.
Hey, I'm Joel Rumpel, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Free Sports co-commentator Paul Eady joining us on Clan Chat to look ahead to Thursday's big game with Belfast Giants in the Challenge Cup. We're keeping that theme going, and most, if not all of you, will be aware that a member of the Belfast Giants team that won the Challenge Cup last year is now very much part of the Glasgow Clan side this season that's battled their way to the Final Four. Brendan Connolly was a big player for Adam Keefe's side last year as they won their first trophy in 4 years. Ahead of the big game on Thursday, I had a chance to talk to Clan's number 9 and ask him about the semi-final matches with Nottingham Panthers last year and the final against the Cardiff Devils. But I wanted to know if he was excited for this one coming up.
I mean, yeah, this is what you play for. You know, any chance you get an opportunity to play for trophies, that's why we play the game. You know, this is basically the first one that you can get for the league, so we're really looking forward to it. We've come a long way. We put together two good games against Cardiff and were able to knock them off, and got off to a start that we're happy with against Belfast, and we'll look to close it out in Belfast.
Now, you won the tournament last year with Belfast. I was looking back at the semi-final with Nottingham Panthers last year. You missed the game, the first game. Giants winning 5-1 on the road. You were suspended for that one. But can you remember the feeling around the team after such a good victory and on the road as well?
Yeah, we were really happy with that. I think we had quite a few players. We were injured as well, so we were down on bodies going in there. So obviously we knew it was going to be a tough task. And I remember Jackson Whistle played really well for us, made quite a few big saves, and we were very timely in scoring. We had a lot of depth guys able to carry the load and pick up the slack. And, yeah, anytime you can get off to a 5-1 aggregate coming back into Belfast, we were very confident that we could get the job done, and we did.
Yeah, the second leg, though, was much crazier. You won 7-6 on the night, 12-7 on aggregate all-in, it turned out. You played, of course, picking up 4 assists in that game. What was your own recollections of that second leg?
Yeah, it's obviously any time you have that type of a lead, you try to tell yourself, you know, just go in like it's 0-0, but it's always in the back of your head that you do have the 4-goal cushion, and Nottingham came out really fast. I think they scored 2 goals right off the bat, and all of a sudden we were on our heels trying to find our game. Eventually we did. We were able to get a couple goals, and then in the third period they ended up having to pull. They pulled their goalie twice, I think, and we scored two empty net goals in a matter of 40 seconds to a minute, and sealed the deal.
Now, the aggregate score looked comfortable on paper at one point. Panthers got 4 straight goals. I think they got it to within 1 at one point. As a team, how did you deal with that? Obviously, the Panthers picked up momentum at that point. They sensed that they could maybe get the job done. What did Kiefer do in that situation? Or was it a case of you guys figuring it out for yourselves and getting through it?
Yeah, I remember he called the timeout and just tried to get us to settle down and realize, you know what, guys, we still have a 1-goal lead here. Don't worry about what the score says up there. We still have a 1-goal lead. Let's find our game. Let's get back to Giants hockey. And we came out of that timeout, and I think Sylvester scored a goal within a couple minutes that was absolutely huge for us going into the third period.
Big sigh of relief at the end?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely a big sigh. And then all of a sudden you're going to the finals, so that's always a good feeling. But yeah, it was definitely a sigh because I don't think we necessarily had our best game, but obviously we had given ourselves a really good cushion with the 5-1 lead.
Let's take you on to the final in Cardiff. What was the build-up to that game like? You know, I remember the weather was quite bad, so I think there was a little bit of doubt over whether the game would go ahead. I didn't get to the game. My flight was cancelled, so it certainly affected me. But what was it like from your point of view at that time?
Yeah, I mean, all we were hearing was we weren't sure if our flight was going to make it. We weren't sure if the fans were going to make it. I think they had a couple buses that were scheduled to go. Everything was just kind of up in the air, and we were just kind of trying to stay focused as much as possible. I think we ended up showing up maybe 20 minutes before warm-up, so we literally got off the bus, had to put our stuff on and try to get ourselves into a, you know, championship mindset and a trophy mindset. But it wasn't too hard once we came out after warm-up. Obviously, the Cardiff Arena was absolutely buzzing, one of the loudest I've ever heard it. All of our fans did end up making it, so we had a pretty good following as well. You can just feel that atmosphere, and you immediately, you know, chills down your spine, and you know something's on the line, and we were ready to go, and we ended up having a really good game.
You did so. You won the game 6-3, and it was a game that was, you know, could have gone one way or the other for long stages, but of course you managed to pull ahead near the end. From your point of view, when did it feel like you'd got the job done? Jonathan Ferland got an empty netter near the end. Was that the point when you thought, yeah, job's done, or did you wait until the final buzzer just in case there was any twist in the tail?
No, I think that empty netter kind of sealed it for us. We all definitely took a sigh of relief and felt like, you know, the game was all but done. We just had to run the clock out. I just remember the game being kind of... you know, it was kind of our depth guys that got the scoring done for us, and you know, a lot of the guys like myself, Sylvester and Shields and Blair Riley, who are kind of the top scorers on the team, you know, were kept off the board. But we had so much depth, and so many guys stepped up in that big game and did such an incredible job for us. I think Matt Toe scored the game winner. You know, guys, John Kurtz and Jonathan Ferland, too, scoring big goals. Ferley scored 2 goals, and Kurtz got one as well. So, you know, it just kind of spoke to the total team and what it takes to win a championship.
On to Thursday now. You go back to Belfast for the second leg. You've got that 2-1 lead in the bank already. How much have you enjoyed previous meetings with your old team so far this season?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. You're friends when you're off the ice, but You step on the ice and you're there to do a job. And, you know, I love all those guys. All those guys will be friends for life. But, you know, when we step on the ice and have something on the line, you know, you're playing to win. So we're not going to be friends when we step on the ice. It's going to be a competitive game. But, yeah, it's certainly fun to come back to Belfast. It's always nice. The crowd's always an unbelievable atmosphere. It's a place I love to go to and love to play in front of. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And they've had a good season this year. They're up there challenging Cardiff at the top end for the title. They were unlucky to miss out on winning the Continental Cup this year. What's been your view of your old team as you watch them from afar?
Yeah, they're a solid team. They're one of the best in the league. And, you know, they're an organization that's going to fight for league championships every year. They do an incredible job recruiting the facilities there. You know, they treat you top notch, treat you really well. So yeah, they're always going to be a team that competes at the highest level in this league, and then across Europe, as you saw in the Continental Cup. So yeah, they're a team that's always going to be competing and always going to be in a high level.
Taking you back to the quarterfinal, the second leg in Cardiff, and the spirit that came from that game, the fact that you fought on and managed to get the result in the end, how much can that spirit play a part in this semi-final second leg?
Yeah, I think we've kind of fed off that game for, you know, since it happened. I think just the belief in our room that we can play with top teams in this league, and if you know, if everyone's pulling the same rope and we're playing the way we're supposed to be playing, that we can be a team to be reckoned with. And we've kind of fed off that since that win in Cardiff happened, and we've gone on a pretty good stretch. And I think we're just going to look to basically play the same way we've been playing and feed off our energy that we've created for our season.
Now, you've got a slender lead going into the second leg, but how do you approach it without giving away too much, of course? I mean, do you try and protect the lead early on, try and weather maybe a bit of a storm that might be coming your way, or do you try and get more goals on the board as soon as you can and try and make it that little bit more comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely just going to play our game, and we've gotten off to pretty good starts in Belfast the two times we've been there. Hopefully we can do that again. Obviously the atmosphere is going to be top notch, and we expect to come out with a lot. But for the most part, we're probably just going to try to play our game. You know, make sure we're being solid defensively, and then take the opportunities when we get them.
So what would it mean to you to not only reach the final again, but to win it with Glasgow Clan?
Oh yeah, it'd be amazing. Anytime you can have a chance to play for a trophy on any team, it's special. Obviously, the Clan have never won the Challenge Cup, so that's special in its own right to get to the final. We've put ourselves in an excellent position to do that, and we're looking forward, and hopefully we can capitalize on it.
And you also play them on Saturday in the SSC Arena, then back home on Sunday. So by Sunday night, will you be sick of the sight of Adam Keefe and some of your old pals?
Yeah, probably. I'm going to be tired of seeing some of the defensemen because big bodies and they're physical. So, yeah, but, you know, it's fun. You don't often get to play three games in a row against a team. So I imagine it's going to be pretty spirited by the end of it. The rivalry is going to be electric, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's Matt Stansh. You're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Brendan Connolly telling us what it was like to win the Challenge Cup. Before the team turned their attention to the Challenge Cup on Thursday, they had a more pressing matter in the form of a visit by Dundee Stars on Tuesday at home. A point was needed to secure their fifth Gardner Conference title in 7 years and take it back from Fife Flyers, who deservedly won it last year. They did so, and did it well, with a comfortable 5-1 win over Omar Pasha's side to clinch the conference, but also move into third place in the table too, leaping above Nottingham Panthers. Scott Pitt, Guillaume Doucette, Gerard Hansen, Brendan Connolly and Matt Becker were all on target, as the fans got to enjoy the team secure some silverware. The performance itself maybe wasn't perhaps what we've seen of the team recently, but the result is the most important thing, and Clan can head to Belfast on the back of four straight wins. I had a chat with the head coach, Pete Russell, after the game, and I asked him how the term Gardner Conference Champions sat with him.
Yeah, it's good for the club, and I think the first interview we've ever done, and the goal was to try and catch Fife and try and get Glasgow back in the map in Scotland, and I think we've done that, and you know, we've got to keep going now.
And to do it with three games to spare in the conference and unbeaten as well. And well, I say unbeaten, you haven't lost in regulation time. That must make it all the better.
Yeah, you know, it's the conference system was different before. Obviously, you had more conference games and it helped your league position. So this year's been a really tough league because it's even standard across. But it's still great to win your section and, you know, you can have that little bit of bragging right. And I think the fans like that as well. And that's a good thing, for sure.
What's your thoughts on the game tonight then? 5-1 win. Look comfortable in the end?
Yeah, I thought we were. I thought we played within ourselves a little bit. We weren't as aggressive as usual. And I think guys were... had their eye on another prize, to be honest, a little bit, but that was no disrespect indeed. We still tried to do the right things, but I think guys were conserving a little bit of energy tonight.
You can't really blame them, can you? I mean, it's a huge game coming up on Thursday.
No, you can't. We get one game to go to the first final, you know, and I think guys would love to try and do that. We know the challenge ahead, but we get timely goals tonight, and we do that a lot, and we sat on it, and you know, Joe made some good saves when he needed them, and you know, I thought we kind of managed it pretty well.
Good bit of, there was a bit of luck in one or two instances. The Brendan Connolly one is the one off the top of my head that kind of squirmed away from the goalie at the key moment.
Yeah, that, and I think Marquette's shot was in, to be honest. I think when it was 1-0, 2-0, and he made the shot over the shoulder, I'm pretty sure it went through the net, but it was so quick. It was such a great shot, they couldn't see it. You know, there's always things like that, but I thought I thought we created some decent chances and we got some offense that executes.
So we're looking ahead to Thursday now, the trip to Belfast. Is it the biggest game of your career as a club coach?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. You know, I'm pretty lucky in EPL, coaching in finals and everything, and you know, the national team, obviously. So I think any time you get a chance to play in get to a final is good, but it's just it's another game. There's no pressure on Glasgow. Belfast have all the pressure. They're the big team, and they're the team that's sitting nearly at the top of the league, and they're at home. So we just got to enjoy ourselves and see what happens on Thursday.
You spent a bit of time with Adam Keefe last week with the national team. Were you trying to get anything out of him ahead of this week?
I talk to Adam Keefe nearly every day. We always have a bit of fun, but he's put a great team together, and you know, they're one shot away from winning the Continental Cup, and they're a point away for the top of the league, and you know, they're rolling along, and it's going to be a tough game, but we've had some pretty good games with them this year, and I'm just hoping it's another good game and we keep it where it is and we take our chances and see if we can get a little bit of luck.
What does it mean for you to reach the Challenge Cup final, you personally?
It's for the club and the guys. A great group of players here, and no one rated this team at the start of the year. You know, even no one thought Glasgow would be a half decent team. They thought we'd be an eighth team, something like that, 7-8th, and you know, even in the league show at the start of the year, they hardly mentioned Glasgow, and you know, right now we're proving everybody wrong. And I think for the club and the guys, it'd be great to get to a final, because you know, I think that's a great thing. And as my second year in this league, it would be good to try and get in a big game like that. You know, it'd be great.
It's good for the fans as well. A lot of them obviously won't be able to travel the time of the week and everything else. They're going to get to watch it on television also.
Yeah, cool. I hope it's a better TV game than the Milton Keynes one was, do you know what I mean? But it's great for the fans. I know it's a long, they can't be there, but you know, the guys are going to be giving all they can. We're going to go there with zero pressure. You know, it's a new game. We see where the game takes. We've started pretty good in there the last few times. We've got a little bit of luck, so I'm hoping we get that again and we can start. And it's a great game. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, it's two good teams going head to head.
I'm Matt Hayward. You're listening to Clan Chat.
That was Clan coach Pete Russell giving his thoughts to the game on Tuesday and a look ahead to the trip to Belfast this week. On the score sheet was Scott Pitt, the Clan's all-time top scorer, adding to his tally, and I managed to grab a word with him post-game on Tuesday. I started by congratulating him, but I was a little hazy on how many conferences he'd won in a row.
Thank you very much. That's my fifth conference in a row, so it's nice to bring it back here to Glasgow.
And of course, I'm referring to the fact you won the Patton Conference with Manchester last year as well, so you're keeping that run going.
Yeah, last year we weren't really expected to do well, so it was kind of it was a nice surprise, I guess, and we obviously earned it, but it was good. But it's always nice to give the Purple Army something to cheer about.
Absolutely. 5-1 win against Dundee, well deserved, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know if it was our best game personally, but Rump's started his head in the first period, and he basically gave us a chance to win, and then we started to pick it up throughout the game, and we were able to put a bunch of goals in the net tonight. So
you've been doing that quite a lot recently. Not yeah. you, the team
yeah.
in general.
Yeah, we're finding ways to score, even though the power play isn't really clicking right now. It's nice that we're kind of spreading goals out throughout the whole team, 5-on-5, which isn't always the easiest, so it's nice to see.
You talk about finding ways to score goals. Connolly's one, to get a bit of luck on his side. If you saw that one, the way it just squirmed away from the goalie.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it. That guy, he works so hard, and he's so shifty and fun to watch with the puck that he makes his own luck, so... He's one to watch for sure.
I mean, it's a big week for the club this week. Defining week, Matt Becker told me at the start of the week as well. How much of that tonight, you know, getting the results, one thing, winning the conference, third place in the league as well. Bit of energy preservation as well. You've got a big game coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we're having a lot of fun in the room right now. We got a great group of guys, and we're really excited to go into Belfast and see what we can do in the Challenge Cup. I don't think the Clan has been this far before, so it'll
once
be
before.
Once before. Okay, so it'll be exciting to see what happens. We're up one, so I mean, hopefully we can get the win and go from there.
I'm feeling a buzz around the building again. We've not had that for a couple of years. Do you feel it too?
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like the fans are coming in bunches now, and it makes a huge difference. It's a lot of fun to play in front of, and we want to put on a show and get the wins for them.
When I think back, I think the quarter final with Cardiff, I think, might have been the turning point in terms of the form and the way results have gone. When you look back on that, is that maybe one you can pinpoint?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was kind of up and down for a while there, but right from that game forward, we kind of got on a roll and started that good feeling in the dressing room and just rolled with it.
How did you feel to be third in the league?
It feels great, yeah. I mean, We were down at the bottom there at the start of the year, and we started slowly climbing and climbing, so it's great to finally reach that third place and overtake Nottingham.
So back to the Belfast game on Thursday. I say a day off tomorrow. I take it you'll be taking things easy, and then it's off to Northern Ireland for that big one.
Yeah, I mean, we have to ask Pete, but I wish we had the day off. We'll be skating here tomorrow just to stay loose, and everyone's super excited to get on the ferry and see what we can do.
The game on Thursday, is it probably the biggest game you've been involved in through your time here at the Clan? Or one of them, anyway?
Yeah, I mean, playoffs are always big games, but to come out with a win and then have a chance to play for a trophy is always a great feeling, and I mean, I think we have a lot of confidence right now, and we believe that we can win. So,
hey Clan fans, I'm Michael Gutwalter, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Scott Pitt, a winner of 5 consecutive conferences, his 4th with the Clan now. Time to find out what goes on behind the scenes at Glasgow Clan, and we, as always, dedicate this section to the hard-working people who work behind the scenes to help you get the best possible game night experience. This person works in the arena, but his role means he's playing to a much wider audience out with Brayhead Arena. On game nights, he's the purveyor of Twitter and all the Clan social media channels, keeping the Purple Army up to date who can't be at the games, providing key information and adding an element of fun into his post too. And he's going to tell us all about it. So, my opener is, as always, what do you do?
I'm David Marshall. I'm the Clan Match Night Live reporter. So essentially what that entails is really what I do is I look after the Clan's social media channels during match nights. I started the last season and at the time we'd done a couple of things. We were using CloudGo at that point, and we had the app as well, which updated people in the arena, and it also done match live tweets directly to Twitter. That was a really good system and a nice app, but it didn't really allow you to do much with the Twitter apart from, you know, goal updates and penalty updates, that kind of thing. So it was quite, you know, clear cut, quite dry, quite, you know, straight reporting. When CloudGo went away, I started just doing the tweets manually, so that allows you to put a wee bit more personality into it as well. So you can do the live updates, you can interact with fans, you can have a wee bit of banter as well. So I enjoy more doing that way. You know, as well we do Instagram as well, so that's I like doing that as well, because that gives people a wee bit more look behind the curtain, because you get to go in the tunnel before the games and between the periods and give shots to the players warming up or coming on and off the ice. So it's really just like keeping the fans informed, keeping them involved during match nights, and that's my job, to just let them know what's going on during a game night.
Right, that'll do us. Thanks very much. Normally kidding. I want to know a bit more about you. Obviously, you said you started with it last year. How did you get involved with the Clan? What sort of got you involved?
It was just one of my mates actually sent me an advert they saw from the Clan saying they were looking for people, match night volunteers, to do various roles, and one of them was to be a Match Night Live reporter. Myself, I'm a journalism student, so I'm always looking for, you know, especially at that time, always looking for to do as much as I can, get as much experience as I could. And I've always been, you know, a big hockey fan, and I've been a Clan fan since we've been going. So that was right up my alley. I was a season ticket holder for the club right up till the start of last season. So that just came a perfect time for me. So I just sent an email to the Clan with my CV, a couple of examples of my work. I'd already been doing some stuff at that point. I'd worked for various local papers. I'd been starting to do stuff with Rangers as well. So I had a decent CV behind me. I was quite confident that I'd probably get it. I met with Chris Ward for a wee interview and just talking away to Chris for about half an hour. And eventually, you know, he came back to me, said he'd like me to come in. Started, I think my first game was the MEC Budapest game last season. Yeah, so that was, then there was the MEC Budapest game and the Canadian college team that we played as well. His name escapes me.
Manitoba. So yep, University of Manitoba.
Right. Yep. Manitoba. So that was like, came in for, he'd done those two games as a bit of a trial. Everyone was happy with me, and I was happy to continue, so we just took it for the end. That's been me ever since now.
You talked about the kind of banter side of it, especially on social media. I did that role myself for a while, and certainly a lot different to it when I did it now. Obviously, you're looking after all the media channels. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of fun when, you know, things happen in a game, and as you say, you get a chance to put more personality in it.
Yeah.
Can you think of a time when, you know, you've maybe sparked off a bit more of a discussion than you've maybe expected to?
there was a game last season when we were playing the Storm. We actually ended up getting beat in that game, and I was having a bit of back and forward with the Storm guy who was doing their live tweets, as far as aware he doesn't do them anymore. And it was getting up to playoff time, and we were just having a bit of battle, and it was getting to the point where it looked like we weren't getting there, and obviously we didn't at that point. And he was trying to wind us up, saying, "Ah, you won't be there." I said, "Oh, don't worry, we'll be there. We'll be in the section that has actual fans and noise in it." And he really took offence to that. Like, our fans thought it was brilliant. People were killing themselves laughing, but he really took a huff to that. And to the point, he was messaging Gareth and people were trying to find out who I am, but he just got laughed off. But usually, like, that was funny, but, you know, usually it's good stuff, and people are just happy to interact with you, and you'll get people, you know, it's usually just people asking for more detail, or they'll be like, "Well, that was a great goal," and you can have a wee bit of banter, or even see if you make a mistake sometimes, if you do a misspell, and you can have a wee bit of banter. People are going to, you know, it's just, just making sure you're all paying attention. It's 99% of the time, it's all good natured stuff.
Absolutely, and it's always important to remember, David, and you'll know this, when you're using a keyboard, the I is next to the O, so penalty shots can sound quite different when there's a game happening, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's always good to double-check that before they go out.
As I say, it's different to when I did it in the past. I find you're always all over the arena, you're not just sitting in the one place the whole time. How important is it to get around the whole arena as much as you can and really present that image of the game night as it's happening?
I think it's always something I try to do, Craig, because there's so much going on in a game night, and that's what the good thing with the Instagram and the Snapchat as well, when we use that. It lets the fans, I think, show just how busy a game night is, show all the preparation that goes on. And I think as well, it's good to give different angles as well. Like, during the warm-ups is a great thing to do it, because you can go so many different places in the arena. You can go down in the benches, you can go behind the nets, see the players taking shots into Rumpo and Gary Russell, getting things that the fans really wouldn't see. I think that's really important, because I think that's what people want to see. They want to get a look at something they might not usually get. Game nights are very busy. There's, you know, we've got a reasonably big team in the Clan doing so many different roles. So I think it's important for the fans to see just what goes on in a game night.
Now, of course, this season is far different from last year, and I think we're talking about results mainly when I say that. You know, like all fan bases throughout the Elite League, the Clan fans can be very reactive to tweets and things that are going on as well. Have you noticed a difference, and I mean in terms of positivity and negativity, when you compare last year to this year and the form the team's going right now?
Oh, definitely. You know, even with last season, it's obviously a poor one for the Clan, and you could feel it as soon as you've seen the first bit of the night. You'd have people like, they were almost expecting, you know, the inevitable defeat. I'd got to the office at the end of the games and put the iPad back, and I'd say to, like, Gareth, I just wouldn't go on Twitter the night, mate, if I was you. Just leave it 24 hours. But yeah, this season's been great. You know, Pete's came in there and done great things for the team. The team's been going gangbusters this season. You know, we're talking this week before the Challenge Cup semi-final. It's just so much more enthusiasm surrounding the club, which is fantastic. And you see that coming through on Twitter as well, people interacting with you. It felt almost like it was a chore for people coming to the games last season towards the end when things were going so poorly. But people are really getting into it this season. That's coming through on Twitter. The interaction you get is as much jollier. It's not, you know, you don't have the 100 comment threads of people. I don't say moaning because a lot of the gripes last season were fair enough. The team were poor, but it's definitely much more positive interaction. People feel, which comes with the territory when you're in, but people feel much more a connection with the team now and feel closer to the players, I think, too.
It can be a bit easy as well on game nights, particularly against certain opponents, where you can maybe push the boat out a little bit. You can maybe be a little bit more cheekier than you would be normally. Is that something you like to indulge in? Are you straight-laced? You keep it straight down the middle? Or can, do you have that little bit of mischief in there?
I like doing a wee bit of niggle. See, as long as you don't take it too far, and then it just ends up with a slagging match between you or whoever's doing the opponent's team. That's not really that interesting because that's not what people want to hear. They want to be updated with the game. But a wee bit of a niggle, I think, is okay when you have a wee bit of banter. And I do try and do that when on the Twitter, but don't take it too far. There's times where I was like, when I went to tweet, someone's went, nah, that's taking a bit too far. Example, when we were playing the Flyers at the start of the season, I think it was the Challenge Cup game that we won. Mm-hmm. I was going to take a picture of their away end as it was emptying, and I was thinking of putting the caption just to reaffirm people that there hasn't been a fire alarm in the building. That's just the Flyer fans leaving. I was like, nah, that's probably taking a bit too far. But like, so it's you can get caught. Even like, I'm a fan as well. You can get caught up in the moment thing. So as I always just take a wee bit before I send hit that tweet, but I was like, right, is this really the best thing to do? And if it's not, like, delete it. But no, you can have that wee bit of niggle, that wee bit of, you know, again, it comes down to banter and competitive with the other teams, but it's always important to remember there's a line and not to cross it.
Last question, put you on the spot a little bit, right? In an ideal world where everything's absolutely great right now, what is the one tweet you would love to put out for the clan?
Challenge Cup Champions 2019.
I'm Matt Howlett and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Glasgow Clan Game Night Twitterer David Marshall telling us all about what he does. We've got one more voice to bring you, and it's the player who will soon be joining illustrious company on the Glasgow Clan Wall of Fame. He beat Chris Frank and Ash Goldie in a fans vote, and his banner will go up in time for him to return to Glasgow on the 15th of March with wife Chantal for the game with Dundee Stars. I am, of course, talking about Stefan Meyer. After Clan released the news, Meyer posted a video thanking the Purple Army, calling it an honour.
Good morning, Purple Army. Just want to say what an honour it is to be your new inductee for the Glasgow Clan. Make your way down on March the 15th. I'm going to make my way down there to see you all and go over the really good times we had in Glasgow, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Like I said, what an honour. I can't thank you guys enough for choosing me, and I'm looking forward to being there. See you soon.
I'm Gary Russell, and listen to Clan Chat.
Former Clan forward Stefan Meyer on the news he has been picked as the next Wall of Famer. That's all for this edition of Clan Chat, as we get ready for a big few days for the club. My thanks to Paul Eady, Brendan Connolly, Pete Russell, Scott Pitt, David Marshall, and latest Clan Wall of Famer Stefan Meyer. We'll get a proper chat with him really soon. Catch all the latest news going on around the club on the website, clanihc.com, like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Audioboom, and the newest episode will automatically download to your device. That's it, thanks for listening. On behalf of producer Stuart Priest and myself, Craig Anderson, we'll be back soon for more from around Glasgow Clan. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.